Please be advised.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler
alert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the It Spoiler Ep.
We're ready to go.
Ready
to get into it.
So at the top, we always have to say this. This is, if you're your first time ever listening to a Comedy Film Nerd spoiler up, we're going to talk about the movie It, and we're going to talk about the ending and key plot points. So if you have not seen the movie and you don't want it spoiled for you, I would suggest hitting the pause button and getting yourself to a Cineplex near you.
We may even start with the ending.
We're going to start. We got to start with the ending.
But here, first, let's talk about our ad.
Oh, we do have,
we
an
have
ad.
A Patreon supporter, Frightfully Uninformed, a podcast that watches mostly classic horror movies to figure out horror movie fandom, frightfullyuninformed.com.
You get that for the $50 level, guys. We'll read your URL, your business on every episode, spoiler,
yep.
And
one of the fans actually tweeted a picture of their playlist, and it was Comedy Film Nerds, Frightfully Uninformed, and Conversations from the Abyss.
Fantastic.
So you guys are listening. We appreciate
Outstanding.
It.
Outstanding. Why don't you add Political Vigilante
and
to
add
that
Political
list.
Vigilante.
Come on, you
please
sons of
do.
Bitches. All right. With us at the All Things Comedy World headquarters is Dave Anthony. David, how are
Stuck
you?
Stuck around.
I'm yep. good. How are you?
Now, let's talk about it. Let's talk about,
the ending.
First of all,
I
the ending.
The fucking ending.
Okay, because really, it's not the ending. It's really like the first half of the story.
This is where I personally, and we talked about this in the regular episode, but when I was having problems with the length, I thought it's 2 hours and 15 minutes,
right,
or whatever, and they should have cut around 30 minutes out, in my opinion. I was like, if you're going to spend 2 hours and 15 minutes, I thought they were going to at least cut. I was like, oh, because I was looking at my watch and I'm like, I was like, this is... They're going to cut to 27 years for where they're all like, someone's going to get a call, like they're going to be in all their different lives around the country or whatever, and someone's going to go,
right,
the well's back open or whatever, crazy clown's back. So this is where I wanted to...
Was there a stinger at the end of the movie? We didn't stick around.
I didn't stick around.
I didn't stick around either.
I'll Google and see if there was a stinger.
Okay, so the problem with that is the book's too long.
Right.
I mean,
no
the story's too big. It's almost too big to do... the way they're doing it. It's really a mini series.
And that's what happened in the 90s. They made that mini series,
yeah,
with
terrible.
The kids and then the adults. But now I did have a question, because sometimes the rules got me a little confused. Like, I could tell, like,
there's no extras during the credits.
No extras during
the only
the
thing
credits.
They show is at the very end, they go chapter one, so they
right.
end the movie on, we've just started this.
Yeah.
And there was an audible gasp in the theater, like, what?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, you
yeah,
saw the
was.
Clown go down the well. Did they kill him?
Because
no.
there's also a lot of people who didn't read the book and just had no idea that there's another part of the
but
story.
But didn't you knew that's where he came from, so if he went back down the well then and he was alive, then he was back in his place.
Right.
I mean,
right.
they didn't kill him.
And
so.
You knew it was like it was close to being the end of his
cycle.
The year. Yeah, his year
yeah,
of
his
murder.
Locust cycle.
His locust
yeah.
cycle.
Yeah, so they beat him back this year, but he'll come back next
so
year.
So now my question is, and this gets explained in the book, like if they weren't afraid of him, like the girl,
mm-hmm.
was it Rebecca or whoever mm-hmm. it was, mm-hmm. She wasn't afraid of him, so then he actually sniffs her. So is that something where he can smell fear, then he can't feed on her if she's not afraid? But then he opens his mouth and uses hypnotonsils, and then she starts floating, but she's
yeah,
he
I didn't
eat
I mean,
her.
I didn't understand the floating thing, and I assume that's like the version of a spider using its web to hold things that it's going to eat later.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't understand the hypnotizing thing with the.
Okay,
I didn't either.
So
well,
that's
where
really
that's where you get into Stephen King crazy shit. Like, there's always a Stephen King in these sort of stories that he does where it's just batshit insane. And so,
cocaine's
yeah,
cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, Tommyknockers is like the best example of how just batshit crazy a book can go. Like, you're just reading, going, "What just happened?" So he's got these things in his books that's like that you just kind of have to go, "All right." It's a
new rule
it's
that we're
hypnotizing
just
tonsil.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's just like, well, all right, he has a power that that causes them to go unconscious, and then, you know, and then he can float them up and wait to eat them later. Like, that's how I saw it. You know, it's like he's catching his food to eat for 27 years, you know?
Right.
Oh. Okay. I mean, I did like the...
That was more of an explanation than I got from the scene.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you, because of the length of the movie, you can't really go into it, what they actually want it to mean. Right. So it's just kind of there, you know?
So then the end of the movie, too, where the kids are all floating around that crazy... You
but
know,
they were bodies. I mean, those were kids that he had already eaten.
Well, were they?
No,
were
he
they...
killed, or he had them in some sort of stasis. Like he didn't kill her, but she was going to float up.
So that felt like then they started to come down, but we didn't ever get like the resolution of, oh, they've saved all these kids or people.
I think it was just bodies.
I thought it was just bodies because I felt like those are the ones that were afraid that he ate, and then this is like the first kid that wasn't afraid that he couldn't eat, then he just hypnotized and put up. That's kind of the impression I got. Everyone else that was floating was already a corpse.
Yeah, they were dead.
Hmm. Well, there was a lot of...
except for the zombies that were chasing them in the sewer, that one kid in the sewer.
I think that was all imagination.
That was clown tricks?
Yeah, that was sort of your fear and him using his powers to scare them.
Got it. Okay. I'll buy it.
That stuff was so cool, the clown would cater to your individual fears. So,
like that picture, that was so creepy.
Oh, God, that woman
picture.
With that bendy creep face.
I know,
that
fuck.
Was.
Oh, God, it was just like...
Yeah, that was great.
It was just like so creepy, and then she comes to life with the teeth.
Right.
And it was such a like... Because that's such a thing as a kid, you'd be like, oh, God, that photo, that painting creeps me out, and you build it up in your head, and I'm afraid to walk. Yeah, I'd run past it or whenever I was a kid so that the clown knows that.
Right.
And then taps into that and then makes the thing come out of the... There was so many...
Well, like she's having her first period and then blood's coming out of the covering the bathroom. Like,
right.
That kind of stuff is
that
well
the father
done.
Couldn't see.
Yeah.
I know. That was nuts.
And he couldn't see her becoming a woman. He wanted her as a... So he also can't see the blood coming out. Like, it's all related, and it's well done. You
that
know?
Was really well done, yeah.
And then the hair was coming out of the sink, the hair that she had actually cut off her head.
Yeah.
Because her dad liked her long hair, so she was like, because clearly her dad was molesting
abusive.
Her.
Abusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, all the parents were awful. The one kid's mom, the big heavyset woman.
The real overprotective crazy one.
The overprotective crazy one. She was just like...
That pharmacy owner, like, that was every creepy pharmacy owner you've ever seen in your entire life rolled into that one guy.
Yeah.
That was good and creepy.
So I think
casting was good in this movie. Yeah.
I can't say for sure, but because I haven't read the book in so long, but I believe it's like, you know, one of the themes is like a cycle of violence, right? So it's sort of generational in this town. And
was it
the parents are all
years?
Bad. Yeah, 27 mm-hmm. years. So the parents are all fucked up because of what they went through as kids. And then it just keeps, the cycle just keeps happening, right? So there are these kids who have no really good home or support system. So they're the ones in life who are victimized. So that's who the clown is preying upon, are these kids who are not getting good parenting.
Did they
Then 27 years, then they become adults in 27 years, and then they're abusing their kids.
And if they don't leave the town.
It's the cycle of violence that we have
now,
in our society.
Was there any more backstory in the book about the clown that wasn't in the movie, like where it came from, like what
I believe
what created it?
It's just some sort of spirit that was there, right, as I recall.
Well, it's an alien.
It was an alien?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It is an alien. See, that's where Stephen King gets fucking wacky.
Yeah, the end got a little weird.
It's just a fucking demonic clown alien?
Yeah, I mean, it's
it takes
not
the shape of a clown.
It's the shape that it takes, but and who knows?
It also takes a spider and
the spider. I remember. Yeah. So
it's just an alien that knows how to prey into your fears.
Well, it's taken this form because our society views it that as a weird thing. But back in the day, like they were talking about the 1600s or whatever they first. Then it might have been something else, you know. It just takes whatever form.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Did the book have the thing that the movie did where, like, when they start going into the archive photos of the city and you'd see, like, a circus wagon in the background and then you're, like, a creepy clown picture in the middle of some old black and white photo from the...
Yeah.
It had all that?
Yeah.
Because I really love that.
There
and
were
then
no
I
pictures
also...
in the book, but...
Yeah, he painted the picture with words. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
There's no pictures in the book. It's not a picture book.
It should be. I mean, it should be. Books that don't
How long ago did you read it?
Isn't there an illustrated version?
3 years ago, maybe?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, so you're a recent.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's cool, too, because like in 1122-63, he goes to that town as well.
In the 60s. Right.
Yeah, so it's really cool. Like,
because it starts in the. Doesn't it start as their kids in the 50s, right?
Yeah, 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
Because there also did. You know, we did some research on this, and there was a lot of little Easter eggs, like when Richie Tozer is in the clown room, right? And there's all those mannequins. There's one of them was dressed as the 1990 miniseries version of Pennywise that was played by Tim Curry.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just to the left of the screen.
Yeah.
Which was the creepiest room.
Yeah, it was. Now, you knew, too, when you saw all of those sheets, well, they're going to come off in a second.
Yeah.
You know,
just a room full of figures with sheets. You're like, only evil is under those sheets. I want to ask you guys this. So, did the interaction between the kids, because a couple times I was like, it got annoying. And I understand, like, that's how boys that age interact. Mm-hmm. I have three nephews, and they're
I thought it was very real the way they interacted.
Maybe that was just me. As the uncle, when the kids came to visit, and there was a couple times I was like, just shut up. Stop fighting with each other about everything.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's exactly what that was.
Right.
Yeah, because that's how they talk to each other, and that's how they break each other's balls.
Yeah, and then one punches the other one, and you're like, right, they punch each other, they fight, and then they don't, and then they're not. Yeah, that's, it was total boy. I thought it was really well done as far as that.
And then the scene swimming at in the quarry or whatever. Yeah. That was where they referenced the turtle.
Yes.
Which is heavily featured in the book. Is that...
The turtle? What was the turtle in the end of the book? I don't remember.
The turtle was like the good spirit helping the kids, right?
But I don't remember what the turtle was. The clown is an alien.
Now it's making me want to read the book because I've never read it, just to kind of get all this extra information.
Yeah, I mean... It's a good book. I mean, like I said,
it's really long, isn't it?
Yeah, it's super long. His books really go, particularly the long ones, they go really fucking crazy at the end. And it does, like he says, cocaine. I mean, it does have the feeling of a guy who's writing all night binging on cocaine. And just, I was always like, did he talk to anybody about this?
What did you guys like?
Have any editor just roll their eyes whenever that last chapter gets delivered?
It's so clear that at some point people were just like, "Yeah, no, go do what you want."
I mean, he's doing like 1,000-page books every year.
Yeah,
like
after he retired. he's like, "I'm not writing any more books. I'm retired." I'm like, really?
What do you guys think that? Like, what were your favorite? Like, what were the scariest scenes for you? The scenes that resonated the most?
I'll tell you, out of the gate was really off-putting and upsetting at the end. When the little kid gets his arm bitten off and then just dragged into the sewer. I'm like, oh, my God, game on immediately.
Yeah, that was really well done.
I thought he was just going to get dragged or the kid would just disappear. No, they rip his arm off and there's blood in the rain-soaked street.
Right.
Well, you're also, like, it's one of the few times in a movie you're like, is this kid going to get away or is he not going to? Like, usually you know if someone's going to get. But I was like... No, this kid might get away because they were making it drag out so long, and the clown was acting in such a way that you're like, oh, he might not actually.
Maybe he'll save him for later.
Eat this kid. This kid might run away, and then he starts going for the boat. And you're like, don't go for the boat.
Yeah.
Do you like popcorn?
But then eating the arm was just fucking insane.
Yeah, that was
when his mouth opened up, and I was like, ah, like that was the whole theater screamed.
Yeah.
And that one, and I was like, wow, that is a great start to a movie.
Right.
You knew like. All right, this isn't going to like tease you.
I think the other scene that got me was when they had the when the slide carousel, when it started going nuts and then all the images started coming up. I'm like, okay, this is going to get crazy and then it's going to actually look like a movie. But I didn't expect him to attack them there through that.
Yeah.
Fuck did that happen?
Like I was like, oh, well, maybe this is like a safe place that, you know, it's daytime. But that didn't matter. And that surprised me. And I was like, oh, my God. He literally came out of the film.
Yeah, the idea is that nowhere is safe because it's your fear. So it grew from their fear and it came out from their fear. Like that's where it gets its strength.
Well, that was the other thing. One of the scenes that they creeped me out the most was when he goes down in the basement and he sees his little brother who's been missing for a year, and his little brother's like, You'll float too. Mm-hmm. And then the clown skitters across the water. I was like, oh, fuck.
And then Des like, I missed him.
Yeah.
Like that little thing was just like, for me, it was when the kid with asthma was near the fucked up house and the like balloons were in a triangle and the clown was out back. I thought that was just super fucking creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. That was. There was a leper picks up the pill.
Yeah.
So the balloon, I feel like there was more to the balloon in the book. Like I
there was
because it wasn't introduced enough for me or wasn't explained enough.
Do you know what the
like
balloon
it was in
was?
The library? Like remember like when right. the kid was
the balloon would always show up when the clown was around, as I recall. So it was like a almost foreshadowing that
something
to the kids like oh fuck the clown's around.
Right.
Someone said they went to a movie and someone released a balloon. A oh. balloon in the middle of it and everyone freaked out.
That's, what a great idea.
Do you and so then the other thing, how is it explained in the book in terms of the kids are seeing these things and they're not actually happening, but they're affecting them? Like they always like come back to reality and there's the adult going, hey, get out of there or whatever.
Well, it is real. I mean, the clown can hurt them. And I don't know what the explanation is, but look, they don't have a parent to tell or go to. So they're really just dealing with their own fear on their own. So it's sort of like they have to quash it on their own or their fear envelops them. It's about survival and surviving abuse, right? So if you let it consume you and overtake you, then you're dust. But if you fight it,
then
and,
you get stronger.
And don't let it ruin you and become stronger, then you can beat it.
Right.
Right. So I think that's sort of, it can hurt them. Like the blood is real. There's something about virginity though, isn't there in the book? Or am I just not remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
I felt like one of the reasons they fucked was it was something about virginity. Like kids could, the blood. Like they could only see the blood because they were virgins.
So that may not be in the book at all, is what you're saying. You may have made that up.
Well, they mention the virgin thing in the movie. They mention it in the film.
They do. And I felt like that was an Easter egg that they did that. I'd have to go back and.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I certainly remember that scene from the book where they all take turns having sex with the girl.
Yeah.
Because it's so like left field almost.
Yeah.
But I remember pretty strongly that it was catharsis for after.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Maybe not
that.
After they kill the clown, but after they had gone through something super freaky.
I can't imagine
that.
What the film would look like if they had shot that scene and put it in.
Yeah. There's no way you could.
That's the last scene before it shifts to them being adults, right?
I think in the book it shifts back to them being kids towards the end.
You couldn't do that. First of all, then it's rated X. Like you can't show you can't show kids having sex. I was wondering what they were going to do, and
you know, a blood bond. They cut their hands. That's good enough.
Yeah,
bond. We can end it there.
So weird if then they cut to them all having AIDS.
Yeah. It's the 80s.
They made the joke. Well, the kid made that one joke. He's like, oh, it's AIDS. We're all going to die. Like, they make that joke in there because it's the 80s.
Yeah, and then again, that's fear. Like, everyone had fear of the unknown. AIDS was very much an unknown then. It's all about fear. The whole theme is
what were the two movies on that were playing in the Cineplex? It was Batman and, like, Lethal Weapon 2 or something.
It was Lethal Weapon 2. It was Batman. And then it came back and it was Nightmare on Elm Street 5.
It
was on the marquee. When they came back later. The other thing that, you know, Dave, you're talking about the themes of like growing up in an abusive house and how this movie was showing that the parents aren't safe, that no one was safe. Like and also I like that scene. So there's the kid that's the big bully, and you really hate that kid. He's a bully. And then you see why he's a bully.
Yeah, his dad's a bully.
His dad's a cop. His dad shoots at this kid's
feet.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's how you, what does he say? He goes, that's how you take down a paper man. Just show him a little fear. And it's like. Yeah.
Well, was that in the book, the TV show that was like really playing kind of in their minds where it was Pennywise creating the show is like, kill him, kill him.
Oh, well, the TV show, and one of the first time the TV show appeared in the film, it was saying something in the background that it was like, I forget what it was, but it was like sort of explaining what was going on.
It was some weird backstory that you were like, oh, wait, that's...
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. The first time it appears, I was like, the TV show was saying like, wow, kids, you know, it was something like, God damn, I'm forgetting now. I just saw the movie last night because they throw so much.
But it was definitely like, I'm like, wait, they're talking about what's going
to
happen to the kids.
Yeah, she was something. I thought it was something like, well, kids, just, you know, people disappear and it's okay, or listen to your parents
float,
or something.
You'll float too.
Yeah, you'll float too. Yeah. They say something like that. You're just like, wait, what? Yeah. And then when she tells him and he kills his dad.
And I was like, yeah, because then all the kids and then the show host and then Pennywise is chanting pretty much, kill him, kill him, kill him.
And he puts the knife in his dad's throat. I mean, it's a brutal way to kill your bully dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you never find out what happens to that bully. He falls down the well, but you never see if he
Yeah, clearly that's going to be in the next movie.
He's going to come back as some sort of zombie bully or something like that.
A zombie?
So when you guys saw the ending, the chapter one ending, were you like, oh, awesome? Or
I knew, just because I had remembered the TV miniseries, that there was a whole nother part of the story where they were adults. So it didn't surprise me. So, but what I thought this movie did a great job of is telling a complete story with these kids at this time frame. Like, I didn't feel like it necessarily left on a cliffhanger. I felt like I got a whole movie. So now, okay, well, now I can see the second part of the story and not feel cheated that I didn't get enough on this first part.
I mean, the book is two stories.
Right.
When they're kids and when they're adults, 27 years later. That's what it is. So it makes sense to me.
So then how are the adult children of abuse themes dealt with?
That I don't remember because I read it before I dealt with mine.
Right.
I don't know. I don't recall.
I mean, I just remember that the girl is being abused by her husband in their marriage. So.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the cycle, you know, it's about cycles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, remember they're not in great shape as adults, as I recall, any of them.
Which would make sense.
Yeah.
Because if that happens and you don't get help, you don't get therapy, you don't have an adult or somebody coming in.
You know, abuse aside, if you get attacked by a creepy clown when you're a kid, that's going to fuck you up too.
That is going to fuck you up. Clown attacks are bad.
Yeah.
They have a whole clowning on.
Yeah.
Clowning on.
Well, the interesting thing too I want to talk about, the film had a $35 million budget. It's gross.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow,
grossed
that's
over
cheap.
100 and, yeah. 100 and, it's at 117. It's probably way past that now. But that's, we've talked about this a lot on this show, and it's, we always get kind of excited because when this level of budget, when the $20 to $50 million movie does really well, because Hollywood, as we talked about on the regular episode, it gets so hung up on the $150 to $200 million big budget superhero thing. So, like, they make these $5 million movies, and then they make these $150 million movies. So when they make a thing like this, it was $35 million, and it was really – obviously, it was on a lot of special effects because it's not like it's littered with big-name stars.
Well,
I mean
– no, not at all.
And it was, like, a lot of practical effects, which were really, really cool. And practical effects are creepy as shit.
And it proves that you don't need stars to make a successful horror movie. The other thing that's an anomaly about this film is big studios generally don't know how to do horror. They're usually awful when they do horror movies.
And how many Stephen King books have they ruined?
Right. We just had another one this year. The Dark Tower was terrible. And the innovation and the interesting things in horror has usually been the indie horror movies.
Yeah.
But this is this one time where this is a decent budget studio horror movie that actually delivered. Because I really feel like it took the lessons of the indie horror movies and applied them to a big budget studio movie.
Yeah, and I think the lesson they applied correctly was, this is a property that everybody knows this book. Because the evidence in that too, the first teaser trailer that they released for this got 197 million views online.
Right.
Did it really?
Yeah, it beat Fast and the Furious, The Fate of the Furious, which had 139 million views.
Really?
So I think
guys
like you, all the people that
I also watched it three times because the trailer was so fucking good.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. They had a property that people loved. I don't think anyone remembers the old, you know, the one from the 90s or whatever, but everybody knows right. the book. Everybody knows Stephen King. And then they cut together the creepiest goddamn trailer. How many horror trailers have we watched on this show and gone, ugh, like, I've seen it, got it, yeah. you know what
Plenty.
I mean? It's the same trailer, and it's yeah. like the kid, creepy kid, ring around the room, you know? Mommy, are you there?
Mommy! Like, fast-moving thing.
Yeah, just...
Yeah.
And then there's mm-hmm. silence, and then the thing, there's always the shot, like, is anyone there? And then you see yeah. the thing above, and then...
you lift up the sheets, and oh, God, it's in the bed with you!
Yeah. The camera pans back. Well, there's going to be something there.
Yeah, I wonder what's going to be in the mirror. Your reflection? No. So, yeah, this trailer was like, oh... And it wasn't just straight horror. It was like...
They took the time to develop the characters, too. So you actually right. cared about the characters, mm-hmm. and it wasn't
yeah,
just
Yeah, that was
fodder.
The thing about all those kids' dialogue, was they were really building those characters really well.
Yeah. They were building the characters well, and they were fully formed, you know, 14-year-olds or whatever.
You know what's interesting to me is... I guess they were 14, right? 13, 14?
Somewhere in there.
So you got the black kid, his parents have died. You got the girl who's being abused. The kid with the glasses, do we know what his deal was?
That was the one kid I don't think we got much.
The Stranger Things kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you got the kid with Munchausen syndrome, where his mom is acting like he's
right.
sick.
And then you got the...
And then you got the sort of main character kid whose brother has died from the clown.
Right, who has a stutter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The one that always stands out to me is I want to go, so is the Jewish kid just fucked up because he's Jewish? Like, what? There was nothing. He had, like, no.
He just had to do a bar mitzvah. Just, that was his thing.
Is that he had to do a bar mitzvah. Like, that was his. Like, he didn't. I guess, was his dad uncaring or.
Yeah, there was the one scene where it wasn't that brutal of a home environment.
It wasn't.
His dad was just like, come on, I'm a rabbi.
You're not reading this book right.
Yeah. Right. That's all it was.
All he said was, what's it going to look like the rabbi's kid doesn't know the Torah?
I mean,
I was like, all right, well, that dad is just...
It's just, was it because he's from a very religious family? Like, I just didn't, I was like, I don't know what that one is. That one lost me.
That one wasn't like, oh, that creeps me out. I'm like, no, I could see that.
Yeah, that was normal.
Yeah.
Your dad's irritated because he didn't do what you were supposed to do.
Right. Like, <what? laughs> yeah, fair enough.
And the dad doesn't abuse him. He just goes, oh, fine, just take the book. You're not even reading it. Like, just
go past the creepy picture. That's your punishment.
Yeah. Go get murdered by the painting. Well, what else? What other thing before we wrap this episode up? What do you guys...
I'm looking forward to the next one, mm-hmm. for sure. I really thought this is a good example of how you can update a property. Like, you know, the 90s, I'm sure if we watched that miniseries now, it would not hold up.
Oh, God. Just Harry Anderson.
And John
Boyd.
Does
he do magic? Does he do sleight of hand to Pennywise?
He's doing card tricks with Pennywise.
Where, you know, this is a property they obviously took some liberties with the time frame, but that's fine. And they did a good job updating it, you know?
Yeah.
And they did several good things. They did a good job updating it, but then somebody like myself, haven't read the book, didn't know much about it.
Yeah.
Overall fine. Like I said, my one little, and this is just more of a nitpicky gripe, a little too long for me.
A little too long, sure.
But that might just be because I've watched way too many movies, so I just...
Right? you had things to do and places to be.
And also for me, for someone who I don't, if I read a book, I don't like to see the movie, this is the kind of movie I want to see because I want to see the creepy clown.
Right.
Usually it's a story that I'm like, yeah, well, I know the story, so I don't want to see it. But this one, I'm like, well, I want to see the fucking crazy clown.
Right.
And how they executed all of the nightmares was
great.
Was so cool, was so innovative, was creepy and scary. They did a great job too with the music. The music and sound design.
Yeah.
That's so important in horror. Like
right.
it really
Definitely.
Is important. The creepy sound or the like some little thing like that. And they did it in ways that were some of them were really sort of inventive to me. That was like this doesn't feel like just sort of your standard oh, well, we got to have a door blow shut or a cat or something stupid
right.
like that. It was really because this thing, like you said, Dave, it was all about fear and facing your fears.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't, you know, when you let your fears consume you, they get bigger and stronger and more powerful. That was always
and they
the
overtake
thing.
You
or don't recognize what you should be afraid of. Like the older bully kid who got taken out, it's because he was ignoring his fear.
Right.
Right.
That's true. He was just like, oh, fine. And
yeah, I'm
like,
better than this and not like just being like, oh, I should be a little cautious here. This is
exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. And the sewer pipeline thing.
Yeah.
was again, there's another example of a parent that wasn't that bad, that was actually a reasonable parent. The kid whose brother lost, the main right. kid.
Oh, yeah.
And he comes in the garage and the dad's like, didn't we talk about this? He's like, no, Dad. And he gives the example of yeah. the thing.
It's a Darwin.
And that was the one adult that I was like, well, this is a dad who's just like, man, my son won't let go of
won't
his brother.
Move
dad.
On.
And I got to get him through this. My wife right. is going nuts over this. That was the one I was like, oh, he's being a reasonable parent
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Right.
He wasn't like awful. Mm. And of course, the great thing is, it's that it is that story of the kid was right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what's he going to do? Come home and go, okay, Dad, look.
Yeah, I know.
We solved it. There was a clown in a hole. Yeah. Everybody was floating. Yeah.
You'll float too, Dad.
But I assume that then, I assume, I don't know what happens, but. Like then all those bodies came down, so then the town would find all those bodies, right?
Right, because then the clown is going back to heal for 27 years.
Yeah, so those bodies are there, so there was a, in the next movie, there will have been a big killer that they didn't catch that was in the town.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is that part of these, when we went into the history of, oh, there was this big fire and this other thing, is that what the town does? Is they go, oh, Clowny, you know, Pennywise killed a bunch of people, so we're going to say it was a train derailing. Like, does the whole town get together and cover up Pennywise's horror?
No, I think it was just serial. They just think it was some sort of serial killer, as I recall. Mm-hmm. I always wonder, you know, I think it was in Michigan, there was some anarchist blew up a school and killed like fucking 80 kids or something in the early 1900s. And I always wonder if his idea came from that also.
Oh, for his inspiration.
Yeah.
Stephen King. Yeah. Or he just was probably abused.
Yeah, right.
Or
I mean,
just
there's
hated clowns.
Theme of hated clowns.
Yeah, I think he had a pretty dark childhood, is my guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way he didn't. I mean, he's just reveling in fucking horror.
All right. Anything else?
Oh, that's a good wrap up for sure. Looking forward to the next installment.
Yeah, I'm in.
And I like you said, it'll probably be 2 years. They'll probably start shooting, and then it'll be out and. What,
that's good. I can
2019.
Watch one horror movie every 2 years.
Right?
I hope they don't get big stars. I hope that, because now people are going to want to do it because the first one was a.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope they don't.
Mm-hmm. If they
the
do.
The budget will go up
if
just
they
on talent.
Do, yeah. I hope they really cast it well. I hope it's like Mark yeah. Ruffalo or somebody that's like a really skilled actor that can play the nuances of the adult version of a kid. Like. Because you, the actor, would have to fill in just internally.
It'd be Jessica Chastain or somebody.
Yeah, that you would have to fill in the 27 years as the actor
yeah.
to bring that across because where you would, because we all know, like, and if you've like been through abuse as I have and you have, Dave, then you start to remember points in your life where you're like, oh, that's why I acted that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. And so. The adult realization, because they're going to be in their 40s, right? If they're 15, 13, 14, 15 years old, and 27 years later, they're going to be at that age where you start like, oh, God, or you remember stuff or whatever. And so if you cast it, if you just go A-list to sell tickets, that's a mistake.
I agree.
But if you get really skilled actors, I mean, like look at Spotlight. A lot of big name actors in that,
mm-hmm.
and they were fucking amazing.
Amazing,
right.
You know. So if you cast it that way, then it could really.
Yeah, well, there's actors, and then there's stars, right?
Right,
right.
And then there's also all these guys who were childhood actors on shitty shows, and they just keep kicking it around Hollywood, like the Zac Efrons of the fucking world. Mm-hmm. You put someone like that in, and you're just fucked. Like they have to be actors.
Yes. So you're saying Zac Efron and Seth Rogen and all those guys, and just make it like Neighbors. Just
that's
make a college
yes.
romp.
That's what I'm saying. I would like to see Seth Rogen fight a clown.
All right. Well, Dave Anthony, where can people find you on the internet? Your podcast?
I'm at Dave Anthony on Twitter. My podcast is The Dollop. My album is called Hothead on iTunes and Bandcamp.
Nice. And then, of course, Los Angeles Podcast Festival, October 6th through the 8th. Get tickets at lapodfest.com, guys. It's at the Biltmore Hotel downtown, which is a fan. It's. I'm not just saying this. It's the coolest venue we've had.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
And
you'll see Comedy Film Nerds and The Dollop live.
doing it live, doing the first ever Political Vigilante live. We've got some of your favorite podcasts that have been in every year, some new ones. We always try to mix it up.
Yep. If you guys are fans of it's Chapo House, right?
Chapo Trap House.
Chapo Trap House. That's the first time they've been in.
And the podcast pros thing, if you're a new podcaster or you want to get into the podcast business or whatever.
It's going to be a lot of great information.
It's not just, in the past we've just had some panels that were cool and informative, but a lot of you were like, we want more.
Right, now it's a whole program. You could go literally Friday to Sunday and just do panels and workshops.
Yeah, it's in a special part of the hotel and it's cool. And the downtown area is cool. So go to lapodfest.com to get your tickets. There is no live stream, guys. It didn't make enough money last year. So we can't do a thing that
lost money.
So we're actually making money by not doing it.
So this, as we said, this isn't just a idle threat or whatever. The festival needs to have a decent year to come back. If it doesn't, we can't do it anymore because we can't compete with giant billionaire corporations that charge you $400 for a weekend pass.
Which you can go down the street to.
Yeah.
If you're a woman.
Yeah, only if you're female, can you go to an exclusion a festival that excludes people? Yeah. Are transgender people not allowed in that festival either?
Yeah,
oh my god!
Yeah,
you know, like
that
they,
is interesting.
Yeah, so I'm a woman that became a man. I'm not allowed now?
I don't think so.
Great festival. No. Awesome.
No. You could go part-time.
Yeah. If you hate inclusion and everybody's welcome, then don't come to LA Podfest because we've been making it for everybody for the last...
For every podcaster, anything. That's why we have the lab. So even if you're not programming the festival, you can actually record.
Don't care what your gender is or,
sexual. Just happy to have you come out.
We just want you to identify as a podcast fan. That's the only thing you need to identify.
And you'll actually see the three of us walking around. We'll be there the entire time. We'll hang out at parties, and it'll be a lot of fun and inclusive as always.
And it's a great, awesome, beautiful. Go to the website of the Biltmore and see. It's really cool. It's got a lot of character.
Yeah.
It's our coolest venue. So
it's in Ghostbusters.
It's in the movie Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The original.
The original. It's supposed to be in New York City. That hotel, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they shot it.
And Mark Maron will be doing stand-up at the stand-up show.
Oh,
fantastic. Just recently announced.
Mm-hmm. The stand-up show, and we don't know yet, but we might make that a single-ticketed event because they have a big, like, 900-seat room. And so, like, Jackie Cation is performing there, Laura House is performing there, Todd Glass, Mark Maron, I'll be performing.
It's already a great show.
Already a fantastic show. So go to lapodfest.com. Thank you, Aaron Brungard, and everybody at the ATC Worldwide Headquarters in beautiful Burbank, California. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
You'll float too.
You'll float too. You'll float too.